बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो। सो वी प्रोसीडेड टू द बिगिनिंग ऑफ द 16th चैप्टर, करेक्ट? नो नो नो, 15th chapter, last few themes were left, I think. Huh? 9th, is it? Yeah, neither hankering nor lamenting, that we discussed, no? 9th and 11th. 8th is also over. 8th, I don't remember, 8th theme we discussed. 21, you read the translation? You read the translation of 21?
My dear king, now you are actually experiencing...
Correct. That is done. 21 is done. So all this material paraphernalia in this world is like some mental structure. It is like some dream. Actually, how many of you felt that dreams also appear almost like reality? Correct, no? It's very powerful. In the chant, Hare Krishna challenge, Prabhupada quotes a couple of examples for the dream. One example he gives is sometimes one is chased by a tiger or a dog. And then in the dream you are running, it's running behind you. At last it has captured your shirt or in a cloth. Behind. And you scream very loudly. And you think you are finished. At that time you jump from your bed. And then Prabhupada says at that time you find yourself sweating profusely. And your heart is palpitating very fast. So, it appeared almost like reality. Only now when you opened your eyes, you know, that dream is finished. But Prabhupada notes one very important thing there. He says, the effect of the dream manifests in the material body. You can see in the form of breathing heavily and also perspiring profusely. Right now? It is almost like reality. Similarly, Prabhupada says, a boy... imagining his association with a girl. That is also another example he gives. The same article he gives. So it appears almost like reality. But when he opens eyes, he sees there is nothing. So, just as when one comes out of a dream, one will not attach much importance to the dream. Once you come out, you will laugh at the dream. Similarly, those devotees of the Lord who have realized that this material world is like another bigger dream, 70-year dream or 80-year dream. So, that means night when you are sleeping, you get a dream. That is a dream in a dream, isn't it? So, material world is also like a dream only. So, then they are not affected by the pleasure and pain. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukha, Mana, Paman. Yes? Yeah. See, there's a story which Bhaktira Samad Maharaj used to tell us in IIT. Several times I heard from him. He used to speak even to newcomers also. He used to tell the story. He said that once a king was sleeping and he dreamt about a butterfly sitting in a flower. You know, the butterfly was moving his wings very slowly. It moves, you know, like this. It was moving. And the king felt... I was watching this butterfly sitting in the flower, colorful butterfly. For a prolonged period of time, this dream went on. Suddenly, the dream broke. He got up and he saw himself. He was a king. So now he had a question. Am I a king dreaming that I am a butterfly? Or am I a butterfly in whose dream the butterfly is thinking that I am a king? So that question came to him. So he called all the ministers and told them that I need the answer to this question. I don't know whether you guys are coming in my dream. In whose dream? Butterfly's dream. But in any case, please tell me, I am confused. Because the dream was very profound. Went for a very long time. So they were also confused. They didn't know what to say. They said, you are a king. You dreamt you are a butterfly. So the answer to this question is given in the four stages of consciousness. Jagrati, Swapna, Sushupti, Samadhi. Jagrati, right now we are all in which stage? Jagrati state, awakened state. So Swapna is a dream state. And Sushupti is the ignorant state where we are, there is a blackout. You don't know your identity, you don't know where you are, who you are, nothing. Complete blackout. And then four stages, Samadhi, where you are experiencing relaxed alertness. Relaxed alertness means you are wide awake also, and you are also in Yoga Nidra. That is the fourth stage. Lord Vishnu is in that fourth stage, Turiya stage. In that Turiya stage, even if one sleeps only 20 minutes, it's equal to 5-6 hours of sleeping actually. Therefore, we practice Shavasana, we say, we try to. In Shavasana, you are not supposed to sleep. Some people start snoring only. And in the name of Shavasana, he was telling, or one devotee was telling, that in his company they have a yoga room. So many people go to join that yoga room. As a part of Shavasana, they go to deep sleep. Sushupti, they go to. You are not supposed to go to Sushupti. So, we are supposed to be relaxed but alert. That is the stage. So, in this way, Jagrati and Swapna, in Jagrati state, right now we are in Jagrati state, we know our situation. But even the Jagrati state also is a dream of the soul. Because we are only situated in the body for some one lifetime. Correct? And then the dream in a dream is the Swapna, second stage. So, when we come to Samadhi stage, all this will become very clear. What is the Samadhi stage? Samadhi is a stage where that verse is there, no? Sukham matyantikam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatrana chaivayam stitaschalati tatpataha yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadhikam tataha yasmin sitona dukhena gurunapi vichalyate tham vidya dukkha samyogam vyogam yoga samstitam. So those verses talk about Samadhi stage. Where he says that a person will think there is no sukham, no happiness beyond this. And gurunapi vichalyate, even the most severe calamities, let them come in your life, you will remain cheerful and unagitated. If one has experienced even a few traces of the droplets of Samadhi, it's called a Brahma Samsparsham. Brahma Samsparsham means it's like touching the Supreme Lord. Just like you touch a socket, you get electric shock. Like that, you touch the Supreme Lord, you get bliss. And that bliss is enough for you to tolerate all sufferings in life. Brahma Samsparsham. Samsparsham. Similarly, it said Bhakti Para Isha Anubhava Viraktir. So, Para Isha Anubhava. Para Isha means the transcendental Lord. If somebody comes in contact with him, then he can tolerate any amount of sufferings. Let people insult you, let you get terrible disease also. That Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukha, Mana, Paman, everything a person can take it. Gurunapi Vichalyate, it says. So, that is actually Samadhi stage where, and another nature of Samadhi stage is, if one has come to Samadhi, one will not be able to use the senses for any mundane purposes. One's senses will not be attracted to anything mundane. Like the eyes which are in Samadhi, they will always go to only, they will chase after the spiritual objects only. The ears will always chase after the spiritual sound vibration. So in this way, all the senses, so the Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, the last three stages are actually the stages of concentration on the Supreme. Correct, no? Before that, all the homework, Yama, Niyama, Pranayama and all those things. So in that stage, one is unbewildered. Like he says, Yajnyatva, Anapunar, Moham. One doesn't fall prey to Moha in that stage. So, So impermanent material assets are no better than dreams and mental concoctions, he says. So this may be theoretically we can understand it, what he is saying. These are like mental concoction or it's like dream, impermanent material assets. So one of the ways that I understand it is the material assets that we acquire in this world after birth, we hold on to them, and one day when we die, we leave and go. Like a newborn child, how he comes? Like this he comes. Newborn child. While dying, how a man goes? Correct, no? He leaves. So he holds on and he leaves. Like that. So therefore, now if you see, at the time of birth, we had nothing. At the time of death, we have nothing. In between, we hold on. Therefore, they are like a dream only. Correct, no? They don't belong to the soul. They don't go with the soul. And they are not permanent assets of the soul. They are only touched by the soul when he is seated in the material body. They are allowed to hold on. So, Chakravarti Thakur humorously, in one place in 10th canto, he says, all the people of the jivas of this world are like a watchman, he says. Why watchman? Because the watchman stands at the gate and keeps watching the house, but he can't enjoy the house. He would just keep watching the house. Similarly, we also in this world come, we watch the things, we touch the things, and we have to leave and go. He says. So, in this way, the commodities in this world, another interesting thing the Bhagavatam says elsewhere, is the same object is treated by different people differently. Every divinity has a definition of what will give him happiness. Therefore, in this world, some commodity which is thrown away by somebody may be considered a very valuable commodity by somebody else. Like somebody may take out the TV and put in the house and throw away the thermocol, but some children may collect the thermocol and keep it very safely. Oh, beautiful, nice concrete thermocol we are getting, you know. They may keep it, oh, such a valuable thing. Sometimes children accumulate such things, you have seen, no? Similarly, it is said in the Bhagavatam that the impersonalist pity the materialist. Because impersonalist thing, we have got the sat and they are holding on to asat. We are having TV and they are having thermocol. Like that, the impersonalist pity the materialist. And the bhaktas, they pity the impersonalist. Because they say, look at these fools, they will go to Brahma Jyoti and they have to come back again. Aruhya Kitsrena Parampadam Tatha Patantiyado. Because they have no lotus feet to hold on to, so they come back. But so therefore it is said the pitied pity, like that it is said, the pitied people pity others. So those who are pitied by the bhaktas, they pity the materialists. The Bhagavatam says that. So in this way, the impersonalist thing, we know all the objects of this world are good for nothing. They are all like perishable commodities. We are more realized. But they are holding on to another foolish thing, impersonal understanding of God. Therefore, the bhaktas actually get the ultimate and the right thing. So therefore, I told you in the concluding part of morning lecture that the material assets are not condemned by the Vaishnavas if they could be engaged in Lord's service. So I told the example of Ambarish and even Yudhishthira Maharaj. They all ruled the whole world, but they were pure devotees. So this word is repeatedly used, this coming dreams thing. You will find in Prayavrat Maharajas, there is one shloka also there. Where he talks about when he became retired, he considered all the commodities of the world to be like dreams. Like that, there are many places in Bhagavatam, this is a repeating theme. Let's go to the, this is 24. Okay. 24 also can read it. 23 we read, 24 you can read translation.
These visible objects like wife, children and property are like dreams and mental concoctions. Actually, what we see has no permanent existence. It is sometimes seen and sometimes not. Only because of our past actions do we create such mental concoctions. And because of these concoctions, we perform further activities.
Purport first para.
Everything material is a mental concoction because it is sometimes visible and sometimes not. At night, when we dream of tigers and snakes, they are not actually present, but we are afraid because we are affected by what we envision in our dreams. Everything material is like a dream because it actually has no permanent existence.
Yeah. You see, in our childhood, we watched some snake movies. You know some snake movies? There's a woman who is sometimes a woman, sometimes she comes like a snake. How many of you have seen such a movie? You've seen? Yeah, oh, all of you know it, okay. I thought I'm the only one who has seen, I thought. Many know it. Huh? So, sometimes that woman will become like a snake and she'll come through the window and all. She'll come. Then you come inside the house. So many things she will do. So, after watching that movie, my Lord, 2-3 years I had problem. Huh? Because every time in the morning you get up from the bed, you see the window, immediately close. Correct, no? You get fear. Actually, there is no snake there. Correct, no? But you watch the movie, so you have fear. Huh? So, therefore, he is saying that snakes, tigers, huh, all these things, they appear in the dream, but we are afraid, but we are affected because we envision our dreams. Similarly, everything material is like a dream. See, how can we understand in the real life how it is a dream? We will explain. See, if you are a devotee and you look at materialists, you can see that the materialists are taking the material life too seriously. You have seen that? What is the meaning of taking material life too seriously and completely neglecting spiritual life? So, if you observe that very carefully, then we can understand this statement. So can somebody give an example for this? You understand what I am saying? See, we all have material life, spiritual life. Ultimately, which is most important? Spiritual life. So we have to be stably situated in spiritual life and we have to also perform material duties. But materialistic people, for them material life is everything. And spiritual duty is just a religious occasional visit to the temple like Janmashtami or something. Correct, no? So because of this, the more they have material consciousness, they will become wound up completely in material life. And for such people, any small upheaval or instability comes in material life, that will deeply affect them. You will see that. Because they have no spiritual shelter at all. All they have is, they are holding on to material shelter. So therefore, when there is a slight disturbance also, they cannot take it. It will become too much. Like for example, if in some family somebody got a heart attack, it's a very big thing for most people. Correct, no? Although they, you know, bypass they had or something they had, it's a very serious thing. Somebody gets disease, it's a very serious thing. Somebody gets some poor marks in the exam, children they get, it's a very serious thing. So the material upheavals, small upheavals also become too big for them because they have no other alternative shelter. But we being devotees, we are all very blessed in that sense. We are understanding slowly that the spiritual world is permanent world. In case some upheaval comes in our life, we may be pained a little bit, but we know that it is temporary. Agama. Apayano anityaha tamstitiksha sabharata. Just tolerate. It will come and go. Sometimes you get success, sometimes you get failure. Sometimes you are healthy, sometimes unhealthy. Sometimes somebody insults you, sometimes you insult somebody. Isn't it? In this world, these things, they happen, Prabhu. Don't worry. Don't make a big issue out of it. Go on with life. Fortunately, you are not the body, you are the soul. The soul is permanent. So, a devotee can gain the ability to take life easy. Even a big blow in a devotee's life, devotee can take it easy. One example I'll tell you. One temple president in ISKCON, he had sent one devotee with a Sankirtan van type of thing. He had sent it to out of the temple, far away place. So, when the devotees, when two devotees are going in that van to distribute, so, there was a terrible accident that happened and one of the devotees, the hands, legs were broken and little damage on the head also, and he was admitted in the hospital and all over the body, so many bandages here, there, everywhere. He had actually become unconscious. He was taken to the hospital and put in everything. The other devotee also got some damage but was lesser. He was behind. It was lesser. And they treated him also and then he called the temple. It was very far away, practically something like 500-600 kilometers away they had gone. So, the temple president was thinking that I personally want to visit that fellow and pacify him. So, when they got the news, then the president made sure that he is admitted in the hospital and taken good care. So, 1 week later, the president went to meet this devotee. Although this devotee had bandage all over the body, he was taking Bhagavatam, one of the volumes, and reading. And he was in a very happy mood. So when the president went and met him, Prabhu, I am very sorry to know you had a terrible accident. Now we are all praying that you should be saved and all that. He tried to sort of pacify him and enthuse him. But he was more enthusiastic than the president expected. That devotee said, no, 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 Prabhu, this is such a small thing. Anyway, mental body is a dying phenomenon. Even if I died in the accident, I wouldn't have been surprised. I think Krishna wants me to live more and distribute more books. You know, some more years he wanted to distribute. And the devotee said, still, Prabhuji, you have broken your hand and leg, and doctor says almost 6 months to 1 year you have to be bedridden like this. He said, anyway, Prabhuji, last 3-4 years I never read Bhagavatam, I am only distributing. He said, no problem, I can be reading. It's a good opportunity for me. And the devotee was so cheerful, except the broken limbs of the body, his face was ecstatic. And the president just could not believe. How is it that somebody is so inconvenienced in the body with so much pains and everything, and he is so happy? Why I am telling you, the moment you know you are not the body, you are the soul, and then as you keep practicing this, for a period of time, you can take big problems small, make them very small. Now for outside people, imagine if somebody got so much bandage and everything, for them it's like all the relatives and everybody will make a big hue and cry for this, correct, no? Yeah. Actually, devotees take it very light. And over a period of time, one will have the strength to face. Like I have been to several times to crematorium for the devotees, sending off of the devotees. We have done kirtan. Harihara Nama Krishna and all we sang. And we have seen, one thing has become very clear now. As people get older, some disease comes in the body, some kind of disease, and people have to leave the body. The most important thing is how we live our life. That is most important. Death is going to come to anyone. Nobody can escape death. So you will see that when a person leaves the body, one of the things that devotees remember the most is how he lived his life, how she lived the life. Correct, no? Otherwise, we can even become initiated devotees. We may be following 4 regs, chanting also 16 rounds, doing rock bottom minimum. There are people who are initiated who chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regs, and they rarely come to the temple also. They rarely associate with devotees. They may rarely open the Bhagavatam, or maybe they purchased Bhagavatam and kept on the loft. They have not yet opened it. And they may meet the spiritual master only on Vyas Puja day or something like that. And they may not be hearing lectures regularly. But they got initiated and they are not anti-devotees. Once in a while they may meet devotees and say Hare Krishna. There are people like that. So they don't evolve in spiritual life. They don't evolve in the relationship with Guru, Krishna and the Shastras. So unless our heart is softened and developed in the relationship, then we may be ritualistically initiated, but our heart and our focus is on material life, correct, no? So then when somebody dies like that, you respect them because they are initiated Vaishnava, you may pray for them and everything, but they haven't been very active in the movement. So therefore, every one of us, we have to worry about this only. How am I living now? Let death come at any time, we don't care. How am I living now? How are we living? How am I spending every single day? Every month, every year, how did last year go, how is this year going? His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami said, every day night he would write a report to Prabhupada. Dear Prabhupada, today this is how I spend my day. Morning I did this, afternoon I did, evening I did this. Imagine if you have to give a report, on Bhaktivedanta Vidyapitam days we can give a nice report. We had a lot, isn't it? Other days you have to check what kind of report we can write. One devotee was saying, Prabhupada, how to write a report, I'm afraid, I didn't do anything today. Only one good thing, I did 16 rounds over. So therefore, in this way, the material objects are sometimes visible, sometimes not. So when non-devotee materialists are too much admiring their material successes, like you have seen, any of you observed somebody too much, you know, it has gone to their head when they get some material success. Even a small material success, it becomes too big for them because they have no spiritual shelter. So therefore he says, Na prakshyet priyam prapya. We quoted that in the morning. One should be sthira buddhi rasam mudo, he says. So let us go to the next thing. Read the next one. This is 26 or what? 26. Is it 26? Yeah. Theme, first you read the theme. This you read the theme, this one, correct? Yeah. Oh, this we didn't read. 25 we didn't read.
Mind concocts enjoyment by creating material objects and suffers when they are smashed.
Yeah. Read the translation.
The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is a combination of the physical elements, the five senses for gathering knowledge, and the five senses of action, along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kinds of tribulations: adibhautika, adidevika, and adhyatmika. Therefore, this body is the source of all miseries.
Yeah, Prabhupada quotes Rishabhadev, Asanapiklesha Ashadeha, he says. And then below he says, the mind sometimes induces, read that.
The mind sometimes induces us to think that if we purchase an automobile, we can enjoy the physical elements such as earth, water, air and fire, combined in forms of iron, plastic, petrol and so on. Working with the five material elements, panchabhutas, as well as with our five knowledge gathering senses like the ears, eyes, ears and tongue, and our five active senses like the hands and legs, we become involved in the material condition.
See, we become involved in the material condition means we develop false ego. That's the meaning of that. Like for example, somebody got a particular car, you know, particular model car which is very famous. Some people now get even foreign cars in India. Huge car. You wonder, is it a car or aeroplane? You wonder. You are seeing a long car. It like appears it's going to take off. Like that. So, if somebody possesses it, it goes to his head. You know, he's thinking, who is looking at me? Look at my car. See me? See my car. See my ahankar. Correct, huh? Feel like that. Correct. So, that's what he becomes involved, Prabhupada says, in the material condition. That means, Prabhupada says, what is a car after all? It's a conglomeration of panchamahabhuta only. Earth, water, fire, aritha. But when you combine it in a certain way and you possess it, then one becomes very proud. So in this way, the living entity, this is what I was telling you, materialists make a big fuss about these things. On the other hand, one time we had gone for a program. My special master was sitting in the front, we were sitting behind, and some people were watching when we got down. So one fellow said, hey, these guys are coming in Mercedes-Benz car. He said, when we got down, we were going for the program. Somebody was driving it. So, when somebody said it, that is the time I came to know that I was sitting in a Benz. Otherwise, do you think devotees worry too much about the name of the car? Our goal is what? Retreat destination. Some congregation devotee comes and picks you up, whether you went in a Benz or you went in Innova, we don't even know. BMW, we don't know what name. Because we have to reach the destination. But those who are materialists, for them, it's very important what car you come in. Correct? Now, therefore, Prabhupada is saying this here. That means the living entity concocts enjoyment in his own mind by creating some material objects, and he attaches value to it based on his ahankar. He attaches value to it. Actually, it has no value. For example, if a saint sees the car as panchamahabhut, is there a samaloshtrashma? Kanchana. He sees gold and stone to be similar. Whereas a materialist attaches too much value to certain material things, you know, based on his mental concoction. The mental concoction means false ego comes into picture. Then he concocts and attaches him. Now you may ask, Prabhuji, so what? If they attach, but the problem is, he will get materially entangled. Say for example, if somebody throws a stone in a car and the glass is broken, the living entity feels that, oh, my heart is broken. Because he's attached to the car. So the attachment to the car hurts the false ego. Therefore, the attachment will make sure he'll be born again and again. Therefore, another example is giving Prabhupada. Go ahead.
As soon as the material object is struck, however, the mind is affected and we suffer. For example, with the material elements, the working senses and the knowledge gathering senses, we create a very nice car. And when the car is accidentally smashed in a collision, the mind suffers. And through the mind, the living entity suffers.
Yeah. Now, for example, if you are going in a car and a terrible accident happens, and the car is a very costly car, assume that it is a 50 lakh rupees car also. So, you will generally see devotees, first what they will ask, as soon as there is a car accident, what they will ask? He's a devotee, all right, correct, no? After the devotee is admitted as Prabhuji, devotee is opening eyes also, speaking with mouth also, everything is all right. Then what they will say? Then what happened to car? Car is of secondary importance, correct, no? But if somebody attaches too much importance to the car, the damage of the car will take over their head. Oh, I saw one time there was a big fight between two gentlemen, because the other gentleman slightly hit his car. And a small dent came. And the dent you cannot notice unless you come very close. Slight dent. But this man made a big human cry for that, standing in the street and fighting for this. Because people, you can see that it depends on how much importance we attach to each thing in this world around us. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying, so Prabhupada is taking the car, one example, and explaining the false ego of the living entity, how it develops. And in the same manner, for example, in companies also, when one is working, if somebody jokes at another person, correct, no? Once my spiritual master was telling that if somebody says you are small, you are not very great, a non-devotee can become extremely offended. If somebody tells, hey, he's a tiny tot, what can he do? The other fellow, he's a big fellow. If somebody says, and this news goes to that person, what? You told me I am small, I am tiny, I cannot do it. So this is a very big insult. But when Prabhupada was told by one staff reporter, wrote an article, the Swamiji is small, but his message is big. By that he wrote. And Prabhupada read the newspaper and said, wonderful, how he has understood, you see? How nice, huh? See, he was more concerned about what? He didn't care about what they are talking about me. He didn't care about it. Because Prabhupada used to appear short on both sides, Brahmananda Prabhu and Garagrishi Prabhu, and either side like tall Meru Parvats, two people. And in between, Prabhupada would appear small. So Prabhupada said, see, this staff reporter is an intelligent fellow. He understood that I have a very special message. He was very happy with that. So he didn't take any personal insult. Correct, no? In the outside world, for middleists, the personal insults are very vital. Because they are bodily conscious. Because they have estimated themselves to be big people based on their mental concoction. Correct, no? Yeah, that is the point. It's a very important point it is. Mind concocts enjoyment by creating material objects and suffers when they are smashed, he says. So, ahankara is a very subtle thing to explain, but Prabhupada is so kind. He is helping us to understand the behavior of ahankara in a very nice manner. So, let us go to the next one, last one in this chapter. Read the next translation.
Therefore, O King Chitraketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, try to understand who you are, whether body, mind or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world or anything not directly in touch with the service to Krishna is eternal. Thus, you will obtain peace.
Yeah, it's the purport, very important purport.
The Krishna consciousness movement is factually endeavoring to bring human society to a sober condition. Because of a misdirected civilization, people are jumping in materialistic life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable sinful actions and becoming increasingly entangled. The Krishna consciousness movement includes self-realization because one is first directed by Lord Krishna to understand that one is not the body but the owner of the body. When one understands this simple fact, he can direct himself toward the goal of life. Because people are not educated in terms of the goal of life, they are working like madmen and becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. The misguided man accepts the material condition as everlasting. One must give up his faith in the material things and give up attachment for them. Then one will be sober and peaceful.
Yeah. Actually, attachment to the material atmosphere is actually the cause of all misery. So everybody should actually first of all, understand the goal of life. Actually, we also know the goal of life. Knowing alone is not enough. One should have faith in the goal of life, work towards attaining that ultimate goal of life and elevate one's consciousness from material to spiritual. Prabhupada, this is one theme in Prabhupada books you will find. Increasing materialism is like increasing fever. Prabhupada quotes this in Ishopanishad. It's like 103, 104 degree Fahrenheit. And increasing spirituality is like reducing the fever and making one healthy. And it is a practical fact you will observe as you advance in spiritual life. The more we do spiritual activities and we are absorbed in spiritual activities, even in our dealing with one another, with other people, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhitika, kleshas will be less. But if one becomes materially oriented, then there are many prejudices come, false ego comes, our desires come, hankerings come, and then quarrels come, anger comes. So then, it's like, you know, if you are going in a plane, you are above the ocean. So you are not troubled. But when you come down, 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 then the waves of the ocean attack, the waves of Trigunas. The waves of Trigunas attack. Because material world is infected with Trigunas everywhere. All the commodities. So, material consciousness means enjoying mentality. Spiritual consciousness means serving mentality. So, when you come down, down, down to enjoying mentality, that is the time there are clashes, quarrels, misunderstandings. You said this, I said that and all that. You will find in this world. So, the material atmosphere. But the whole world is in that only. So, therefore, there are so many problems. So, at least as devotees, we understand this. And in the 1.1.2, Prabhupada says, competition-less society. What is he talking about? Spiritual world. Spiritual world is a competition-less society where all jivas are pure, they are non-envious, they always have a service attitude, they always put others first and themselves next. And Lord is the sweet Lord is in the center of everything, everyone. So in this way, we have read in different sections of Prabhupada's books, but this has to be internalized in our heart. Prabhupada's books are exhaustive and he is talking many subjects. Why I am telling you this? Because sometimes I see that even as preachers, one may be talking on some weird subject which is not actually concerned about goal of life. Even within the Krishna consciousness movement, you can laugh about people doing in the West like this, or you can think about some political issue or social issue, this and that, but ultimately we have to come to this point. We have to go from material atmosphere to the spiritual atmosphere. So this is actually the most vital knowledge. Therefore in ISKCON, even a small kid you ask, what is the goal of life? What they will say? Back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada one time said, see, what is the meaning of back home? That means you are from there only. It doesn't say to Godhead. It doesn't say. What it says? Back home. See, for example, you say, I came from home here to the temple. Now I have to go back home. Back home means you come from there. Because if somebody doubts whether you came from spiritual world, then this point can be taken seriously. Clear, no? Back home, back to Godhead. So, you read the theme, 11th one? I read it.
Misguided man considers material condition as everlasting. By giving up material attachments, one will be sober and peaceful.
Yeah. And the Bhagavatam is full of examples. After giving up material attachments, who became peaceful in Bhagavatam? Tell me some examples. Kyagat, Shantir, Anantaram. Jalabharat? Okay. Jalabharat, right from beginning, he was like that. You know, there was one heron, like a crane kind of one bird. The bird found some fish. So it was capturing a big fish in his mouth. And many other cranes saw it and they came flying there and they were all pecking it, attacking it on the body. So the crane thought, oh, they are going to kill me. So it dropped the fish and then flew up. Then all the other creatures, they were fighting with one another. But he was saved. His skin was saved. You know, he went up. Right? So this is coming in the 24 Gurus section. So he says that the material world is a place where in the material atmosphere, there is a lot of competition for, you know, material commodities, a name, fame, glory, credit, for everything. So Tyaga Chandra Anandana means you give up that and you focus on spiritual atmosphere, you are peaceful. Avanti Brahman. perfect example. Avanti Brahman, yes, correct. He actually, by giving up, he became happy. Similarly, our Rishi also, our morning they said, no? Pingala also, yeah. Ashahi paramo dukkam, she says. Yeah. Nirashahi paramo sukham. She says that actually one should not have too much material expectations from the material world. That should be reduced. And of course, we cannot make it nil. We always have some expectation from others. But we have to increase our absorption in spiritual atmosphere. See, this is not to say, leave everything and go to Vrindavan and do bhajan. That's not the meaning. Prabhupada was right in the middle of New York, isn't it? And preaching and everything. But what was Prabhupada's absorption? Oh, my guru has given this order. Now I am coming here to preach and propagate Krishna consciousness. Can you give an example of somebody in a spiritual abode meditating on material atmosphere? Can you give an example? Prabhupada gives it in NOI. Somebody going to Dham and doing a business, opening a shop, hoping that a lot of pilgrimage people will come. I will make a big business and make a lot of money. I will sell some laminations, or I will sell some, you know, some kind of commodities in the Dham. People open a bigger and bigger shop, correct, no? So he is going to a spiritual atmosphere. I mean, he is going to a spiritual atmosphere and absorbing in a material atmosphere, material consciousness. Prabhupada went to a material atmosphere in America and he was absorbed in spiritual consciousness. So, what is more important? In which atmosphere you are in? That's not important. What is your absorption? What is your consciousness? That's most important. Prabhupada once said, you know, even a mosquito you can sit on Vyasasana. But what is his stature? Prabhupada asked. Simply by sitting in Vyasasana, mosquito doesn't become Mahatma or representing Vyasadeva. So, consciousness is most important thing, where we are. You are where your mind is. That's the saying. So, where your mind is. Therefore, he is saying that, in this purport, Prabhupada said that, you see, people are not educated in the term of goal of life. They are working like madmen, becoming more and more attached to material atmosphere. Like that is telling. Nowadays, cities have become like hell. They have big, big shopping malls. Selling so many unnecessities. People are purchasing more and more, breaking more and more, and buying more. So the material atmosphere is increasing in cities like never before. So Prabhupada explains this, the material atmosphere in one purport, Kamam Avarsha Parjanya, and another one more. There he says, what is the need of cinema theatres, clubs, liquor shops, brothels? What else he says? Flesh and fish and slaughterhouses, liquor shops, like that he gives a long list of things. These are all representing material atmosphere, big industries, sending out pollution in the air, polluting the air, polluting the water, and the city, congested city, junk city, synthetic city, and people heavily loaded in trains. So, the materialistic atmosphere, devoid of God consciousness, such a kind of material atmosphere is increasing more and more because of the influence of Kali Yuga. It's Kali Yuga, Iron Age, so therefore iron industries are increasing more. But a devotee can live in the midst of all of that and still keep his consciousness in spiritual atmosphere. It's quite possible. Prabhupada is a proof for that. Actually, America represents materialism. India represents spiritualism. So, Prabhupada went from a very spiritual ambience to a material ambience. And even in that material ambience, he carried Vrindavan with him. And he created Vrindavan in many places there. New Vrindavan, New Dwaraka, New Jagannath Puri. Isn't it? Where there is no Dham, he created Dham there. Therefore, at least we people, when we are in a spiritual ambience, we should not meditate on material atmosphere at least. He went to material atmosphere and meditated on spiritual atmosphere. You agree with this point, correct, no? We are in a solid spiritual ambience. So we have to, the whole idea is we can absorb ourselves like a sponge and meditate on spiritual consciousness. So, Prabhupada says, misguided man considers material condition as everlasting. Actually, in sense gratification, the time flows slowly or very fastly. Very fast. 4 months, Chaturmas, period, for our Sugriva, it passed like one moment, like this. So, And another thing with sense gratification is, when one is gratifying senses, one thinks everything is permanent. That kind of feeling comes. Our boys told me, when they were in voice, they had a lot of study tension, career tension. So spiritual life also, they took it seriously. But once they got a computer job, going in an AC bus, sitting in an AC room, very cozy life, money in the pocket. So they felt this is actually going to be permanent forever. So they, actually therefore the devatas are crying in that verse, what are they saying? Smriti pramushta atishaya indriya utsavat. By atishaya indriya utsava, the smriti becomes bhanga. What are that verse? Kim dushkarayana kratubhittapovratayir dhanadibirvadyujayena falguna na yatra narayana padapankaja smriti pramushta atishayendriyotsava. So bhoga and aishwarya make us forgetful of the Lord and think that everything is permanent. So the more we do sense gratification in this world, the more we think this is the world, that's all, there is nothing above. You think like that. The more one practices Krishna consciousness, withdraws from bhoga, aishwarya, prasakna, then one can go to spiritual atmosphere or spiritual absorption. See, he is saying, material commodities increase mental agitation. And withdrawing from material commodities and chanting the holy name makes us sober and peaceful. Which means the more we try to enjoy material commodities, we become like a monkey. Very naughty monkey. The more we focus on spiritual absorption, we become sober and peaceful. Reason is simple. Sattva-guna. The more you come to sattva-guna, you become sober and peaceful. And enjoying material commodities in which guna? Rajaguna and Tamaguna. So one becomes agitated and one loses the peace of mind. There is quarrel and clash and anger and fight and desire and hate and revengeful attitude and revenge fantasy. All these things, complications come. So devotees, on one hand, should not fear the material commodities because of its bad quality, but they should elevate their consciousness to use them in Yukta Vairagya, as we say, isn't it? Without getting entangled, use them all in Lord's service. So Prabhupada, each purport, you see how wonderful Prabhupada is writing. Let's go to the... Now, Chittaketu meets the Supreme Lord in the next chapter. 16th chapter, you see. Yeah, these are the five themes here. Jiva speaks to Chittaketu. After that, Narada gives him instruction. So... See, in the 26th verse, he asked, consider where have you come from? Where are you going? Why are you under the control of such a shoka? So he is actually helping him to come out of the illusion. Now, Chitraketu, see, go to the first verse in the next. 1, 2, 3, 4, you can read the translations.
Sri Shukadev Goswami said, my dear King Parikshit, by his mystic power, the sage Narada brought the dead son into the vision of all the lamenting relatives and then spoke as follows. Sri Narada Muni said, O living entity, all good fortune unto you. Just see your father and mother. All your friends and relatives are overwhelmed with grief because of your passing away. Because you died untimely, the balance of your lifetime still remains. Therefore, you may re-enter your body and enjoy the remainder of your life, surrounded by your friends and relatives. Accept the royal throne and all the opulences given by your father.
See, why Narada is saying like this? See, he is not telling the child, please come for 5 minutes and give a very good intelligent sermon, to your relatives and friends. After they are enlightened, you can go away and go to the next destination. He doesn't say that. Rather, what is he saying? He is saying something which will be very pleasing to the king and the queen also, Kritaditi also. What is he saying here, you see? He is saying, re-enter your body and you have to enjoy the remainder of your life and you should be surrounded by whom? Friends and relatives, and also you accept the royal throne and also all the opulence given. So you all agree, Chitraketu will be very happy to hear this. That means what Chitraketu and Kritaditi must have thought when they heard this? Oh, Narada is able to bring back the child. So they will say, oh, very wonderful, thank you, Naradaji. Not only you gave us nice class, you also brought the child back. You know, okay, you give Diksha to us and we will take Diksha also and child also give it back. And then happily lived ever after, like that kind of thing they must have thought. But Narada Muni has a plan. Read the next one, fourth one.
By the mystic power of Narada Muni, the living entity re-entered his dead body for a short time and spoke in reply to Narada Muni's request. He said, according to the result of my fruitive activities, I, the living being...
See, fruitive activity means karmic reactions. Yeah, karmic reactions. Yes.
I, the living being, transmigrate from one body to another, sometimes going to the species of the demigods, sometimes to the species of lower animals, sometimes among the vegetables, and sometimes to the human species. Therefore, in which birth were these my mother and father? No one is actually my mother and father. How can I accept these two people as my parents?
I read the theme.
Living entity is son of God and has no relationship with the material body he gets from mother and father.
Yeah. That Prabhupada says in the second para, middle, you will see, the living entity is son of God, and because he wants to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to enter various bodies. The living entity has no true relationship with the material body. He gets from material father and mother. Which means, basically our material body is a vehicle for material enjoyment. Which means, for example, right now I have a material body. If I am enjoying material enjoyment, and then keep accumulating more desires in my subtle body, then I will get one more material body. Correct, no? So how long we will get material body, can anybody say? How long we will keep getting different material bodies? As long as we have material desires. Okay, imagine your mind is filled with spiritual desires. Spiritual absorption, remembrance of Krishna, spiritual world, devotees. And you are just like I told, some Prabhupada disciples are like that. Some people you can see that. Like our Sankarshindas Adhikari Prabhu. He's quite ecstatic, isn't it? He's so much enthusiastic, expanding the movement everywhere. He's absorbed. His foot is hardly on the ground here. Isn't it? So you can see a person's mind when he opens the mouth. So if somebody's absorption is like that, then do they need a material body in this world? Because there are no business in the material world. Why do they need a material body? Who needs a material body? One who has some material business in this world. If you have no material business, then you will go up. So this becomes a very scientific phenomenon for us to understand. If I have I want to take revenge on somebody, for example. I will come back and attack you. Then I have to come back. Therefore, when a person dies, you know, he is given very good, nice upadesh. Please give up all your enmity towards anyone and forgive everybody with whom you are angry or something like that. Or somebody had a great desire. You heard the story Prabhupada said, one mill owner was lying in the bed and his sons came to see him. And said, hey, all four of you have come here? Who is in the mill? He said. And then next moment he died. And Prabhupada said, he became a rat in the mill, Prabhupada says. Because what is the last thing he was thinking? Mill and, you know, worrying about it. So, if somebody has a desire, the certain desires unfulfilled, or certain revenges to be taken and things like that, they need one more material body. They are stocked in the mind. Very scientific it is, very powerful. So, therefore we should try to spiritualize our mind and senses as much as we can. Of course, we can't immediately do it also because we have been around in the material world for a very long time. We have picked up so many things. Now unwanted things we have to give up. And then gradually we have to increase our spiritual absorption. So this is actually the secret in spiritual life. The more the spiritual absorption, a person is heading towards Godhead. You don't need to give a certificate that one fellow asks, Prabhupada, how do we know Prabhupada went back to Godhead? That question only shows his ignorance. Correct, no? Because you are thinking it's a mechanical thing or a ritualistic thing. Actually, it depends on absorption. What was his absorption? Moment after moment. So, absorption is what carries us to the spiritual world. So, therefore, he is proper saying that the living entity is the son of the Supreme Lord. And as long as the living entity and jiva has material desires in the mind, stored in the mind, he goes through different families. That's what he is explaining. Whichever family he can fulfill his desires, he is sent there. Yeah. So, if I have a pious background in the past, then I will be again put in a pious family. Where the mother, father, they will be pious, and then they will give you a chance to engage in some devotional service, and then one can grow. If somebody had a bad past and they want to, they have some more bad desires to execute, then they get a birth in a particular family where they can execute the bad desires. So it's all a question of material body is nothing more than a vehicle for the soul. Let's go to the next thing. Fifth one, you read the translation.
In this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all
actually
people...
I was very convinced about this, what I spoke just now, when I observed that people in certain gunas get hooked to certain ambiences. Correct, no? You can see that. Like certain type of food is liked by Rajoguna people. Like spicy food or very masala and hot food. Correct, no? Similarly, somebody is in sattvic, you attract sattvic food. And not only food, even the ambience, atmosphere. Correct, no? So same principle applies after death also. What vasanas have we stored in our mind? What desires we have? We have to look back. Maybe sometime we can do contemplation into our mind and see, what do you want, my dear mind? We can ask and check what all desires are there. You don't have to tell anybody. You can do checking yourself. From that we can know what body is awaiting us. Correct, no? Because the body we will get is going to be provided for fulfilling these desires, you see. Like somebody is craving to go to America, eventually you see him landing in America, you find. No? Somebody is, generally what, therefore energy flows where? Intent goes. That is the same point here. Yeah, read the fifth one, translation.
In this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all people become friends, relatives and enemies in due course of time. They also act neutrally, they meditate, they despise one another and they act in many other relationships. Nonetheless, despite these various transactions, no one is permanently related.
Yeah, please read the second thing. There, second thing.
A friend in mode of goodness today can be an enemy in mode of passion tomorrow.
Yeah. How does it happen? For example, say today you had one of your friends in the ashram. He is in mode of goodness. You are mode of goodness. Prabhuji, please take this prasad. Prabhuji, vanchakalpatarubhyascha. In mode of goodness, the dealing is very sweet. Correct, no? So tomorrow, that fellow suddenly got overloaded and night he got only 3 hours sleep. And next day, his head is like a matchstick. Head is burning and his body is unhealthy. And then he is requesting you something, you say no, and then he starts yelling at you. Suddenly you wonder, hey, he was a good friend. The way he is treating me now, I don't need this friendship anymore. So the same person whom you considered as a very good friend, now he becomes your enemy. So in mode of goodness, behavior was acceptable by your mind. The mind said, very good. He's respecting me, honoring me, loving me, affectionate to me, courteous to me, kind to me, very good. Then I make friends. Now he is giving me feedback or he is shouting at me or scolding me. Then you become my enemy. That's what Prabhupada is saying. This I got from here only. See the last line, the purport. The fourth line from the purport bottom. One who is my friend today in association with mode of goodness may become my enemy tomorrow in association with the modes of passion and ignorance. As the modes of material work, nature work in illusion, we accept others as friends or enemies, sons, fathers, in terms of reactions of different dealings under different conditions. Some families, even father son have a quarrel. And before the father dies, the son loses his relationship before only. You've seen that? Like say the father is 40 years or 50 years. They had a terrible quarrel at home, father and son. The son says, no, I will not even see your face, and father doesn't see his face. So before the death of the father only, the father becomes enemy for him. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. And in the material world, it's like a river that carries away the living entity. People sometimes become friends. Today's friend can be enemy tomorrow. Or sometimes the enemies become friends also sometimes. Like over the devatas and asuras, they became friends once. When? Samudra Manthan Leela, correct? It's because they had a common goal. Therefore, he says, we cannot take this material life too seriously. It's a foolish life it is. Today somebody is friend, tomorrow. But actually in the spiritual plane, you will see our relationship with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual, when you go back and you eternally serve, That is Shashvata Sambandha. But this Sambandha in this world is sometimes there, sometimes broken. It's like that. That's the point he's telling here. Go ahead, next one. Yada vastuni panyani. Hemadini tadastataha. Paryatanti nareshvevam. Jivoyo nishukartrushu.
Just as gold and other commodities are continually transferred from one place to another in due course of purchase and sale, so the living entity, as a result of his fruitive activities, wanders throughout the entire universe, being injected into various bodies in different species of life by one kind of father after another.
Yeah, which means he's saying the living entity is transferred from one body to another like the gold transfer from one pocket to another pocket. From one person to another it goes like that. Here in the purport, read the purport. First para is very important.
It has already been explained that Chitraketu's son was his enemy in past life and had now appeared as his son just to give him more severe pain. Indeed, the untimely death of the son caused severe lamentation for the father. One may put forward the argument, if the king's son was his enemy, how could the king have so much affection for him? In answer, the example is given that when someone's wealth falls into the hands of his enemy, the money becomes the enemy's friend. Then the enemy can use it for his own purposes. Indeed, he can even use it to harm its previous owner. Therefore, the money belongs neither to the one party nor to the other. The money is always money. But in different situations, it can be used as an enemy or a friend.
Oh, this is a very deep example it is. See, for example, I have some money with me. Say, I have a crore rupees with me. And I have enmity with one man. Now, I can use this money to get some gundas to beat him up. Correct, no? Which people do sometimes, you know. Yeah. But now imagine, this 1 crore is stolen by that enemy. He looted my suitcase and ran away. Now, he can use that 1 crore to get the same gundas to beat me up. Correct, no? So, now the question comes, this 1 crore, it is friend of whom? This 1 crore is my friend or his friend? With whomever it is. Like that he is telling. Therefore, that is example given here in this place. So, therefore he is telling that when the gold or other commodities, when it is with you, see what happens. For example, if a father begets a child, because the soul is covered with the material covering, and the child's look also looks similar to mother and father. What do you call it? In Tamil we say jadai, jadai we say, no? What is it? Resemblance, yeah. Resemblance. Correct. In English, it's resemblance. So, if the child resembles mother or father, they also develop attachment for it, for the child, based on the bodily attraction. But this child, when he leaves the body and goes to another family and he takes another body, that jiva's body now will resemble whom? That family. So, they develop attachment for it. So, that jiva is no more your property. You understood, no? Because you can't even detect where that jiva is now. Which family he went, you know, who, when my father passed away, the Sri Vaishnava who was teaching, doing all the rituals, and the last day he was telling, in the 12th day, there is one ceremony we have to do outside, where there's a dry coconut, completely dried up coconut, we'll keep it, and that coconut is kept, it's called as Rishabha. So, we do lot of rituals and everything. Finally, I am supposed to, move away the dry coconut like that and it will rotate and go far away. What is the meaning of that? Like a Rishabha is very difficult to catch, a bull which is running very fast. Similarly, the meaning is what? Now the jiva has become free from all the entanglements and he is relieved now and it's gone away. And then he told one thing. So, he has no pitratvam, matratvam, putratvam. He has become relieved from all that. Then he is not tied with your family anymore now. Now he will go to another destination and he will take birth in another family. So this pujas helped him to give up the material ties which keep him bound in this world. That is a problem now for us. Everybody in this world is attached to the material platform. They are stuck. But when it is done, so we are giving him the freedom to go to another place. So this jiva, when he was here, because of the resemblance of mother, father's body, the people are attached to the child. this child, mother thinks this child came out of my womb, and the father thinks, you know, I created this child, he is my creation. You know, father thinks like that, he is my Xerox copy or something, you know, like that, they think like that. And the child grows, but when child leaves the family and goes to another, the jiva gets another body, you don't even know where he is completely. He is gone. Amazing. So therefore the attachment is also gone. Can he keep attachment now? To keep attachment also he has to search where is that jiva. Because the jiva is occupying another body now. His face cut may be different, his situation may be different. That's what he is saying. So we are all like gold going from one pocket to another, the jiva. So in this way, Prabhupada is very scientifically explaining. And then the next para is saying, read the next one also, very important. It is not by any father or mother that the living entity, is given birth. The living entity is a completely separate identity
from the so-called father and mother.
Yeah.
By the laws of nature, the living entity is forced to enter the semen of a father and be injected into the womb of the mother. He is not in control of selecting what kind of father he will accept. Prakritihe kriyamanani. The laws of nature force him to go to different fathers and mothers, just like a consumer commodity that is purchased and sold.
Like the gold doesn't have any freedom to choose in whose pocket I want to be. Based on whoever is paying the money, the gold goes from this pocket to another, like that it goes. Like that the soul also goes, he says. Therefore, the so-called relationship of father and son is an arrangement of prakriti and nature. It has no meaning and therefore it is called illusion. Amazing, no? See, Prabhupada is exploding illusion so thoroughly. So none of us, actually after I read all these purports and all, I felt even the people whom we are preaching to, we bring, they may stay with us, and then eventually they, you know, in case we don't complete our term in the world, we may go to different places. So these purports, these verses teach us a very important point, that one should not have too much unnecessary material affinity and material attachment. One should transcend it. And we should do things in a detached spirit, like a detached observer. We should do our duty, like mother and father should do their duty to the child. Because the soul has come from somewhere, so we should do the best for the soul. And then, living like that, see, and the same purport if you see, last para if you see, before that. Janame janame sabe, pita mata paya, Krishna Guru nahi mile bhaja hariye. He's saying, read it. Very simple meaning, no? Janame janame sabe pita mata paya. In every janam you get pita mata. And Krishna Guru nahi mile bhaja. But you don't get Krishna Guru in every lifetime. After Brahmanda, Brahmite kona bhagyavana jeev, Guru Krishna prasade paya. But after millions of getting multiple mother father, you had fish mother, fish father, dog mother, dog father, cat mother, cat father, tree mother, tree father, everything. Finally, we came to human, and human also, many human mothers, human fathers. In one lifetime, we get Guru, Vaishnava Guru, and connection to Guru Parampara, which is extremely rare, he says. Yes, that's the point he is making there. So, you read the theme.
As gold is owned by different men, as it moves from one place to another by purchase and sale, so the jiva wanders throughout the universe, being injected into various bodies in different species.
Clear, no? The point is made clear. Yeah. So read up to 13 and then we'll come back and discuss. Read up to 13.
A few living entities are born in the human species and others are born as animals. Although both are living entities, their relationships are impermanent. An animal may remain in the custody of a human being for some time, and then the same animal may be transferred to the possession of other human beings. As soon as the animal goes away, the former proprietor no longer has a sense of ownership. As long as the animal is in the possession, he certainly has an affinity for it.
Like the cow we were telling in the morning, Lakshmi and all that, yeah.
But as soon as the animal is sold, the affinity is lost.
Yeah, if you see the sixth line from the bottom of the purport, Prabhupada is saying here, as an animal is transferred from one owner to another, living entity who was son of Chitraketu lived as his son for some time. But as soon as he was transferred to another body, the affectionate relationship was broken. Just like any of you sold anything you had in second hand to somebody, anybody, like a cycle. So when you have a cycle, you may have some attachment to cycle, but then you sell it away. Or mobile you sell in second hand, or books you sell in second hand. It's no more yours. It has become somebody else's. Like that it is gone, he is saying. And then he is saying, As stated in the example given in the previous verse, when one has a commodity in his hands, he considers it his. But as soon as it is transferred, it becomes someone else's commodity. Then one no longer has a relationship with it. He has no affection for it, nor does he lament for it. It's finished. No more connection. And you have nothing to give and take with it after that. That's the point he makes. So that is the way this world is. Read 8:1.
Even though one living entity becomes connected with another because of a relationship based on bodies that are perishable, the living entity is eternal. Actually, it is the body that is born or lost, not the living entity. One should not accept that the living entity takes birth or dies. The living being actually has no relationship with so-called fathers and mothers.
Same point is made here. And then as long as he appears as a son of a certain father and mother, as a result of his past fruitive actions, he has a connection with the body, even by that father and mother. As he falsely accepts himself as their son and acts affectionately, after he dies, however, the relationship is finished. Same point. Under the circumstances, one should not falsely be involved in jubilation and lamentation, he said. And then the living is eternal, imperishable, and he has no beginning and end. He never takes birth or dies. And he is the basic living principle in all the bodies. The living entity is very sublime, that he is equal in quality to the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, because he is extremely small, he is prone to be illusioned by Maya Shakti. And thus he creates various bodies for himself according to his different desires. That means, who creates the material bodies? The living entity creates. Is there somebody, this Baman Rao Pai said something, what did he say? You are the creator of your own destiny. You heard that? People quoted. Actually, he's saying the similar thing. That means we create our destiny. Correct, no? We create our destiny. That means we create destiny based on our desire. For example, I want to build a house. First, I develop the desire. Some people put a picture of the house in their office also, you know, in front of the notice board they put and keep it. Then later on, what you do, accumulate money. Then after that, you purchase a land. Then you make a blueprint of the house through an engineer. Then the construction starts. Eventually, the house is manifest. So your desire has taken shape now. In the same manner, the living entity, you know, creates his bodies according to his different desires, he says. In that purport, second paragraph, you see, fourth line, Papa says, he is described as Prabhu, the master. If he likes, he can come to this material world. And if he likes, he can return back home back to Godhead. Because he wanted to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Lord gave him a material body through the agency of Maya Shakti. As he says. In the 10th one, for this living entity, no one is dear, no one is unfavorable. He makes no distinction between which is his own and which belongs to anyone else. Basically, he is talking about the neutrality of the living entity. He is only an observer. And then in the 11th verse, he is saying, the Supreme Lord, the creator and cause and effect, does not accept happiness and distress that result from fruitive actions. He is completely independent of having to accept the material body. Because he has no material body, he is always neutral. But the living entities possess his qualities in a minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation. So, in this way, this is another thing that explains the difference between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord is like a high court judge who gives judgment to the people according to their good and bad actions. He has no prejudice. He is not attached to anyone. He will just give punishment to one. He may give reward to another. Like that, the Lord remains neutral, he is telling. Like second para, Prabhupada says in the purport, Maharaj Chitraketu was advised that remaining neutral in such trying circumstances as death of one's son is impossible. Nevertheless, since the Lord knows how to adjust everything, the best course is to depend upon Him and do one's duty in devotional service to the Lord. This is a very important point. That means in our life also, if some near and dear ones pass away, it will definitely cause pain, a prick in our heart. Again and again, the remembrances come of our interaction with those people who have passed away. How to rise above it? To depend on the Supreme Lord, is telling. Because Lord is permanent, His pastimes are eternal, spiritual world is eternal, so focus on it and rise above this pain, material pain. So Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the conditioned soul, Jiva, in the form of Chitraketu's son, had spoken in this way and then left, Chitraketu and the other relatives of the dead son were all astonished. Thus they cut off the shackles of their affection, which was due to their relationship with him, and gave up their lamentation. After the relatives had discharged their duties by performing the proper funeral ceremonies and burning the dead child's body, they gave up the affection that leads to illusion, shoka, moha, bhaya, and misery. Such affection is undoubtedly difficult to give up, but they gave it up very easily. So the theme, fourth theme I wrote, one can give up illusion, lamentation, fear and pain very easily by taking firm shelter of a pure devotee like Narada. Because they heard from Narada, and Narada made the child speak the truth. They could very easily give up this illusion. They understood that this boy who was born in their family, he is some wandering jiva from somewhere. He came, he stayed for a while, he has pushed off to next destination. We can't claim his possession. He is not owned by us. He is actually owned by Supreme Lord, who is his real father. When that understanding came in their minds and hearts, they developed detachment and they gave up their agony. And in this way, Narada Muni enlightened all of them. And then let us see what happens when we come back. Chal Prabhupada ki jai.